Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com. Now listen closely here. Listen to what Euchre says right here. Listen closely. Yeah. Something about relieving himself. I'm guessing that was a joke. We'll never know.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
This morning, still unclear whether a student at the center of a frightening situation at a local high school will face disciplinary action, perhaps any charges. West Allis Nathan Hale High School evacuated due to a threat, and this wasn't one of those, you know, phony call-in threats that we are dealing with and still need to be taken seriously, but this was a student who was reported by other students for suspicious behavior.
There's some kid with a vest on. And we heard him say, wait until I detonate, and obviously I'm not going to take that lightly.
It's one of the students who reported the perceived threat to school authorities talking with TMJ4 News after Hale had been evacuated Wednesday morning. What had happened was a student, and you heard him describe it, was wearing a vest. It's one of those, like, weighted vests. I don't know, do you wear that, like, to build muscle mass?
Yeah, it's like ruck. It's called rucking, I think. You put on this weighted vest and you hike with it or you walk
sure.
with it.
So it's a piece of athletic equipment.
Yeah, it appears. Yeah.
Right. But he's wearing this vest, the student, in school, and they kind of look like, to the untrained eye, a piece of tactical gear, right? Or at least can appear that way. So school shooters, we've seen them wearing these, others as well, when they commit their crimes. And apparently the kid then also made a crack, as that student said, wait until I detonate, as if perhaps it were an explosive device or something like that. It wasn't. And we don't know this morning, was that just a really bad joke? Like the kid was wearing it for an entirely legitimate, he's training for something, makes an offhand and go, yeah, wait till this blows up, ha ha.
Yeah.
Or was he actually trying to cause some sort of uproar and exactly this type of thing? We don't know that, but we do know other students took it seriously.
I think people at school need to be more aware of what they're doing and what they're saying, because This stuff is serious, and it should be taken seriously.
So again, we have another situation.
You just don't have a choice anymore to take
right.
it. You know, you have to. You don't have a choice.
Where was it? Fond du Lac at the elementary school, last week?
Oh, the guy with the umbrella?
Someone saw someone that enter a school, an elementary school, with what that person thought was perhaps a long gun.
Yeah.
Called authorities. They all responded. It turned out to be an umbrella. But another thing of just evidence of the times in which we live, how heightened our awareness is, and I guess that's a good thing. It's unfortunate that that's where we are, but it sounds like the students did the right thing here. They caused this big uproar, and it'd be tough to get just back to business today at Hale, but it is top of mind. Students know what's going on. They're aware of the threat to them each and every day, sadly, in what should be a safe space, and that's how that played out in West Allis. Still waiting from police or other authorities to learn if there are any charges ahead for that student who is at the center of all this. 6:14, got a ton of Brewers stuff inside the clubhouse as the champagne was flowing.
Yes, sir. Here we go.
And spraying. And various celebratory messages were delivered.
Yes.
Do you have it all, Eric?
We have it all.
We have it all. Next on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
What a game.
And Stebbins is ready. And delivers. Swinging and a rocket to right. Base hit. They win. Jake Bowers hit an absolute bullet. Pass Harper at first. Jackson Chorio scores the winner. And they're chasing Jake Bowers.
The Brewers walk off the Phillies 2-1 after an exclamation point to the day that saw them clinch the NL Central for the second year in a row.
Don't tell the Brewers they're not supposed to be here just because they're young or inexperienced. The veterans like Willy Adames and Rhys Hoskins know that you just got to pull your own weight and good things happen.
This one is special. I mean, it's been a great year for the team. I have a lot of young guys that never been here. And, you know, I told them just to enjoy. This is fun. This is what we play for. And hopefully we can go and win it all.
It's a collective group that's all trying to do the same thing. We believe, you know. We believe from the start. We were doubted. And to do that while being doubted is just makes it that much sweeter.
It all seems to come back to praising the teammates and the people that make the Brewers who they are. Manager Pat Murphy and GM Matt Arnold.
The people of Milwaukee ought to be awful proud of the way these guys competed. Everybody doubted them. They come to play every night.
Nobody really counted on us from day one. But the guys in the room believe in themselves, you know, and Murph sets the tone, Ricky sets the tone, and this entire group, I'm just incredibly proud to be a part of it.
From American Family Field, I'm Dominic Catronio.
The team, per the usual, celebrating Mr. Baseball. So he comes down, Murph talks.
There is no one who epitomizes a champion the way this man does right here. There is no one out here. What an example for us to be with every single day. Bob Uecker. No doubt. Yeah!
Now they pop the champagne. Now listen closely here. Listen to what Uecker says right here. Listen closely.
I peed my pants.
Yeah. Something about relieving himself. I'm guessing that was a joke. We'll never know. WTMJ's Greg Matson caught up with you.
Hey, Bob. There's a nice party they threw you here.
It's nice. Yeah.
I guess.
This is actually my hotel room.
Yeah.
This is my hotel.
Are they going to get the synth out of the carpet?
I hope not. This is what keeps me going. Absolutely. When you get to this time in your life, your existence, to be laying on a champagne-soaked carpet is the top dog. That's it. That's the best. And to be with these guys each and every time, and one of the best friends I ever had in the game right here. It's always, always the best.
Bob, God bless you, man.
Thank you so much. Good to see you.
Always good to see you, too.
So the Brewers now 3 games behind the Phillies for the top seed in the playoffs. They still got games to play here. They're 2 games behind the Dodgers for the 2 seed with 10 games to go. 10 games to go. And here we go, starting tonight, a big 4-game set against the Diamondbacks at AmFam. Our coverage at 5:45, WTMJ first pitch, 6:15. And don't forget, tickets go on sale tomorrow for the first round of the playoffs.
Whatever that would be for us. You can could start, still be the wild card.
That could be 10 a.m. online, or you can do a drive-through. They're doing a drive-through prep rally starting at 6 a.m. at the stadium, so you can get an advanced opportunity to buy tickets starting at 6 a.m. tomorrow.
Don't want to lose this in the shuffle of the great Brewers news. Packers quarterback Jordan Love back on the practice field, just a week and a half removed from that injury in the season opener that was maybe more frightening for Love than it turned out to be serious.
Very painful, and didn't know in the moment what might have happened, you know, what the injury actually was, how long I might be out. So it was definitely a scary moment, but it was very painful.
Yeah, didn't know what he was dealing with at the time. Jeez. He does now, says the knee feels so much better. Head coach Matt LaFleur calling Love's participation in practice, quote, limited. Asked to expand on that, he did not. Well, it means he didn't do everything. Right, he threw the ball around, he did some stuff, he ran around a little bit, he's limited.
Is he playing?
So he has not said, Love has not said, if he's going to feel ready to play, and then there's what he feels, and then there's what the team wants to do with him.
Yeah.
So that remains an open question this morning. Packers and Titans in Nashville, noon on Sunday. Got a WTMJ traffic alert for the weekend.
Okay.
It's going to be a big pain, but the light is visible at the end of the tunnel. Every single day, all summer long, big delays and slowdowns if you've been driving the freeway south of Milwaukee.
It sure seems
you sound
like
a
it.
Little bit pained.
Well, right, Deb? It's every day.
Oh,
894, some call it the bypass. It's Interstate 41. It's Interstate 43. All proper descriptions of that stretch of freeway that runs between the Mitchell and Hale interchanges in southern Milwaukee County. That stretch has been undergoing a major facelift. New median wall, resurfacing project. The construction zone has caused major congestion. And this weekend, the whole stretch is going to be closed in the westbound direction. Debbie's going to get us through it.
You've all heard me talking about it over and over. The construction on 894 westbound out of the Mitchell Interchange. Not going to lie, sometimes even I get sick of talking about it as much as the drivers get sick of driving through it. I get it, but times, they are a-changing. I spoke with the DOT's project manager for the 894 project, Eric Hansen.
To start this coming weekend, Friday, September 20th through the morning of Monday, September 23rd, we're going to be closing down westbound 894 completely. That's going to go from the Mitchell Interchange to the Hale Interchange.
You heard it. A full weekend closure of 894 westbound. Now, if you'll remember, we did have a full weekend 54-hour closure, technically two, a few years ago with the Zoo Interchange project. And it'll work pretty much the same way. So basically, starting at 11 p.m. on Friday, all ramps and interchanges feeding into 894 westbound and the main line of 894 westbound itself will be closing down until 5:30 Monday morning. As long as Mother Nature cooperates, this work is weather dependent.
During that time, eastbound 894 will remain open.
Well, at least we got that going for us.
The scheduled work is to mill off the existing pavement and repave it with new asphalt. And the goal here is to repave all three lanes of 894 in one direction for the full 3 mile length of the project.
Yikes, a big job.
To give an idea on the scale of this effort between hauling off the old pavement and then placing the new pavement, we're anticipating around 1,000 dump truckloads of material to be moving around to complete the operation.
Wow. But is it better this way?
When we perform work under a full closure like this, it's safer for both crews and drivers. It allows the operation to be more efficient, and then it provides a better finished product by placing the asphalt all at once instead of in smaller sections.
Also, up until now, we've had to deal with that left lane closure on westbound because crews were working on rebuilding the median area. Now that work is done, so we're getting a traffic switch.
The great news is that after this first weekend is complete, come Monday morning, we are scheduled to fully reopen 894 westbound back to the full three lanes of traffic.
And by the way, those three lanes will stay open for the remainder of the project. Okay, so we're going to have to deal with this for two weekends, technically. Remember, they're doing the eastbound, too. How are folks supposed to get around this?
Best detour routes would be to use the rest of our freeway system with I-94 and I-43 going through Milwaukee to get around these closures. And then Layton Avenue is another great detour for traffic that needs to get to that area.
If you'd rather take a look at a map for those alternates, we'll have those on our website at WTMJ.com. And for the whole project?
The 894 project is scheduled to complete tentatively the summer of 2025. And then the associated Loomis Bridge project, the Loomis Ramps and Loomis Road itself is scheduled to reopen this fall.
So bear with the crews this weekend and next. I know it'll be a bit weird for a while, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Debbie Lozaga, WTMJ News.
We told you earlier this week about a pager attack in Lebanon that Israel likely was behind, where hundreds, if not thousands, of pagers that were being used by Hezbollah militants all exploded simultaneously, killing some, injuring many others. Well, it happened again. This time, it was walkie-talkies.
The scenes of fear and panic as explosions erupted across Lebanon for the second day, killing 20 people and injuring 450. Lebanese officials said this latest wave of exploding devices included walkie-talkies and solar energy systems. The attacks over 2 days, killing more than 32 people, including two children.
Now, Israeli leaders are remaining silent on their potential involvement in this, but it's widely expected, and from, according to many reports, they were behind this. ABC's Marcus Moore.
Sources confirming to ABC News, Israel was behind Tuesday's attack, targeting Hezbollah with thousands of exploding pagers. Photos circulating on social media appear to show the remains of the pager model used in Tuesday's synchronized attack. While Israel has yet to publicly claim responsibility, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu speaking out, saying that they will return residents of the northern border to their homes safely.
Now, Hezbollah began striking Israel almost immediately after October 7th, after the attack by Hamas. Since the war in Gaza began, Israel and Hezbollah have exchanged fire basically every day. Hezbollah still vowing now to retaliate to this latest attack.
It's still a bit unclear how much collateral damage to other people who might be innocents,
right,
was a result of this. That said, there's so much criticism about how Israel has waged the war in Gaza with the bombings that have affected large civilian populations. This is about as targeted as you can get.
Fairly precision, right? Yes.
The only people in possession of these devices largely would be those who are part of Hezbollah. And they're the ones who are accused of committing these acts against Israel.
It's quite amazing technology, if you think about it, to be able to do this and do it without being caught or noticed.
To pull it off.
With pagers and now with walkie-talkies. Holy cow. Let's honor an everyday hero on Wisconsin's Morning News. So we define an everyday hero as an average John or Jane Doe who had no idea when they got up one morning that they'd be saving a life. Everyday Hero is sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care, Azura Memory Care. Today, Vince, we head to Crèvecœur, Illinois.
What's going on there?
Just south of Peoria, so this is central Illinois. Freshman Stephanie Pulaska is on her bicycle, and she's flying. She tells the Peoria Journal-Star that she likes to ride fast, but she admitted she was going too fast and starting to lose control, going down a hill on the road.
Oh, no.
Loses control of her bike, hurdles to the ground, and one of the handlebars was missing, like the rubber cap on the end, and stabs into her leg. So it's a grizzly, and sorry, this gets, it cuts her artery. So it severs her artery in her leg, the femoral artery, I think it is called.
So she's in a life-threatening situation.
This is, yes, this is a major problem. Main blood supply from the heart to the lower extremities. A severed artery like this can be fatal within minutes. Within minutes. And talk about being in the right place at the right time. Enter Carpenter Brad Kupres. Kupres had been a Boy Scout, describes himself as a guy who's on the fringe of the spectrum, was doing a job in a house nearby, and he heard the commotion, so he rushes outside, and he sees the scene, and he sees the blood. And, you know, obviously, if you rupture an artery, you know what's going on there. So he runs to the back of his pickup truck, where he has already created a homemade crisis kit. He just happens to have one. He always keeps it in his truck. Socks, shirts, phone chargers, first aid kit. He just keeps this in his truck. Why not? So he grabs his backpack, gets back to the scene, and it's not good. Remember what I said about the severed artery. So that means Stephanie is losing a lot of blood really quickly. Kupres tells the paper that she was dying. She was not going to survive in his brain. He immediately finds the wound. He tells the paper it looks like a gunshot wound. He cuts the side of her shorts so he can put direct pressure on it, jams cloth in there from all of his stuff that he had brought, keeps the pressure on, holds off the bleeding. Someone calls 911, and after a while, an ambulance comes and saves this girl. There is no way, according to authorities, that this freshman from high school would have survived without Brad Kupres, who was just doing a job in the neighborhood. Imagine what this guy did. A girl he doesn't know, a teenager, on the street, bleeding out. He uses scissors to cut her clothes to get to the wound. And here's how it reads in the paper. Kupres quickly packed compressed gauze on the wound and reapplied pressure, essentially doing push-ups on the wound and holding it for about 15 minutes. Her life in those minutes were in his hands. And he saved this girl's life. She is alive and well just because this guy went for it. He has no training other than being a Boy Scout 25 years ago. And he took it in the initiative and had the confidence to do it. Thank you, Brad Kupres, for
nice job, Brad.
This teenager's life. Everyday Hero is sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
And they're chasing Jake Bowers into center field. They finally caught him. And the celebration now.
And there you have it. The Brewers cap off a big day with a big walk-off win over the Philadelphia Phillies at AmFam. 2-1 the final as the crew clinched the NL Central Division for the second year in a row.
Pat Murphy calls his leaders his pillars in the clubhouse. Guys like Christian Yelich and Rhys Hoskins, who got to celebrate an NL Central Division title. For Rhys Hoskins, his first time winning a division.
This is why you do it, you know, like all the blood, all the sweat. There's nothing better than cherishing things that are bigger than yourself. And to do it with some of your friends, yeah, it's just, this is what you remember.
For Christian Yelich, he mentioned earlier in the day how this one feels just as sweet as 2018 did. He explains why.
I think it's because we were probably doubted, and the expectations coming into this year were, you know, that we were going to be a rebuilding club and we were going to kind of just have it down here. We lost a lot, and this team's definitely overcome a lot. We had a lot of adversity throughout the year. We had a bunch of injuries, and guys just continued to step up. So just really proud of these guys and, you know, looking forward to watching them.
For a team that virtually nobody picked to win the Central, they've done it for the third time in the last 4 years. And Reese also notes,
go Brew, man. Go Brew. We're not done.
From American Family Field, I'm Dominic Catronio.
Mr. Baseball was celebrating.
To be here and be around this. Tomorrow it'll be all cleaned up. Everything will be back to normal again. But this is great.
The fans or the players cheered him. There you go. So WDTMJ's Greg Matzik was in the clubhouse. He caught up with the owner, who was feeling good.
Year after year after year, the team just says, well, forget what everybody else thinks, and they find a way to have nights like this. What does that mean to you?
You know, one of the guys did an interview outside said, yeah, how do you feel about this tradition of winning? And it's interesting. It's become a tradition. And we plan on doing this every year, but we know how hard it is to do it. We don't take anything for granted. That's why I think Murph was the perfect manager for this group. He took nothing for granted, and he believed in these guys. Nobody else did, but he, I don't mean the organization, but outside, but he did.
Yeah.
I think that belief is carried.
He's been consistent from start to finish, too, right? Kind of the perfect manager in that sense.
And I heard he dropped a couple of curses, and when we clinched, they had a beep. They couldn't beep him out on live television. They said, oh, that's some locker room talk. That's what's great about Murphy. So genuine, you know? Completely genuine.
Good stuff. Mark, thank you very much. Thanks, I appreciate it. Really nice to see you, too.
That's the music. These guys.
Music in the basket. You gotta, Ad Nauseo must have been loving every minute of that, especially because, you know, who helped clinch them? Well, it was the Cubs and Craig Counsell earlier in the day.
Is there any Counsell sound somewhere? We gotta look for that.
Well, yeah, it's tough to
yeah, I mean, we, no, guys.
10 games left. They're still jockeying for position. It starts tonight, a big four-game series against the Diamondbacks at MFM Field, right here on WTMJ.
Hey, some good news for the Green Bay Packers. Quarterback Jordan Love practicing again. We'll talk about it next on Wisconsin's Morning News. 6:55 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Cannot believe it. Packers quarterback Jordan Love practicing already. Now, head coach Matt LaFleur said he was limited in practice as we bring in ESPN's Jen Latta. What's limited mean?
It means he didn't fully practice.
Didn't do all the stuff.
And I know that because Matt LaFleur said it four times. He was limited.
Because right. he doesn't want to say anything
I
else,
think he's
right?
frustrated. Don't you think Matt LaFleur's frustrated? I think Matt LaFleur wants his starting quarterback out there. I think, okay. obviously, he put together a really good game plan for Malik Willis. I was watching the JT O'Sullivan. If you don't watch the quarterback school on YouTube or Twitter, you should. He broke down the entire game of Malik Willis. And basically, he said, guardrails. This was a game plan where a quarterback went out there, doesn't have all the clubs in his bag, as he put it, but they put guardrails around him. It was like a 1-2 read offense, which is like if your first option isn't there and your second option is run, right?
He called for your life.
An SRO offense, which is a screen read option as opposed to a pass run option, rather. So, I mean, they definitely catered the game plan, catered the offense to what Malik Willis can do.
So what's he frustrated about?
I think he wants Jordan Love out there.
Okay.
Right?
Right, yes.
You know, and I think that, you know, the MCL is one of those injuries. You saw him walking on the sideline last week. He's out there practicing. I think that this is just going to be another few weeks for him to get comfortable with the knee injury. He's going to have to wear a brace when he does get back out there. And, you know, we're just kind of taking it day by day, week by week at this point.
Do you go with, and this is a difficult situation for Matt LaFleur, the other people involved in the decision, do you go with an 80% or a 75% or a 70% Jordan Love versus 100% Malik Willis?
This is my opinion. I think they would prefer to, but don't you think Jordan Love has the ultimate say in that? And if Jordan Love doesn't want to set foot back out on the field until he's 100%, I think you have to defer to the QB.
Or unless he wants to come back and they're like, oh, hey, let's, right. let's get
yeah,
one
there's
more
those
week.
Guys who are like, no, I can go. Like, no, you cannot.
Sure. And that's all, that's why you have medical teams and stuff who can give you the green light. How do you feel about their chances this weekend against Tennessee? Obviously a familiar foe for Malik Willis since that's where he was traded from.
What worries me is they've got a very good defense. I think, and granted, they're only 2 weeks into the season, but they're the number one run defense and number 10 defense overall.
And that's how
this will be an entirely different story than running roughshod over Indianapolis.
Because that's how we made our money last week, right? That's how the Packers made their money. That's how they picked up the first downs, was running Josh Jacobs as much as they did. So yeah, I think it'll.
So we're pretty good at running, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's really good.
Yeah.
But
offensive line is pretty good.
I don't imagine that it will be as easy as it was last week. And of course, one of the big things that the video that I watched was talking about was this was the first time anyone had seen Malik Willis running an offense. This was the first time they had seen Matt LaFleur, these type of plays. That's the other thing I think people forget. It's not just Malik Willis who is learning the offense. When you're installing a different offense, it's everybody,
yes,
the
right.
line, the skill right. position player. So kudos to them for the big win. I don't know that it will be as easy this week, but I still think the Packers walk out of there with a victory.
I like it. Let's keep it going. Packers, Brewers, when do the Bucks start? Let's go.
Take a break, Bucks. I don't have enough bandwidth right now.
No kidding. 6:58 on Wisconsin's Morning News.